Commissioner Van Holden, I'll call the meeting back to order. Still present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek, and we have a 10 o'clock agenda item. We're doing the review on the workshop for prosecuting attorney's office. This is the second go around, and so we'll have some specific questions to ask. And I met with Brian briefly yesterday afternoon to make him aware of some of the issues that we wanted addressed. And they're nothing big or small, they're just line items. It's a budget. So with that, does either of the commissioners have any direct statements or questions before you start?
Yes, I do.
Yep.
Brian, I've been looking in the plan book. If you could confirm how many attorneys you have today, and then there's an action item for Friday, but the number of attorneys, there's 86 listed on the requested budget for 43.
It's seven.
Now it's 86.
Oh. Number of attorneys or number of employees?
Number of employees in your department, and then.
They must work really cheap.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's your staff, it's your total.
Yep.
What you supervise, and then on requested 24 is 87. Yesterday it was 87 and 88, so I personally am confused.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Commissioner Van Beek, I will find that information for you.
Perfect, thank you.
All right, take it away.
Thank you, commissioners, and as Commissioner Holden indicated, we had a conversation, some questions were provided, so my hope is I'm just gonna go straight down through that. But if the commissioners would indulge me, since you just approved the IDOC grant, I'd like that to be the first, is where would you like, once we receive that money, it'll be a one-time sum. Is Zach and I have been talking about it, possibly just creating a separate budget within the PAs, kind of like what we do with NAMPA and Caldwell, and similar to the SALSA budget, and just park it there if that would be good with the board. Zach, any other thoughts on that? Just so we know directions, it'll probably have to be added into this year's budget.
Yeah. Is that how you would see it, Zach?
I'd see we could create a separate accounting division, separate from the regular prosecutor's budget, separate from NAMPA, separate from Caldwell, so it's just its own individual pre-prosecution diversion division budget. That's it. That's the only thing that would be accounted for.
So it wouldn't even be in the PA's budget?
Well, it would be under the umbrella of your budget.
Okay.
But it'd be a separate division, if you will.
So in everybody's expectations, that's how I would definitely see it.
So yes, and I think so too. So when I look at the general for the prosecutor, 001-08 is where you're gonna park that, Zach, and then assign the rest of the numbers out.
It'd probably be 001-08-347.
Okay.
Something like that.
That makes sense to me.
Yep.
Makes sense to me. Agreed.
Excellent. Just making sure we're all on the same page. So okay, so going down through the list, item number one, Carl debriefed me, and I think we have an action item on Friday.
Right.
So first and foremost, I appreciate the board with the flexibility and the slight miscommunication understanding. So that's on our shoulders a little bit. So I'm good with reducing the civil to one. It's the reason why we requested to, just so the board knows, it was our intent, is probably to sit on the position for a few months, because we're still in the new world of the insurance. We don't know what, knock on wood, we're doing really well. Compliments of the board and the elected officials, is I don't know if we get massive pieces of litigation that start rolling in that our office then has to start taking on, or if projects start to get out of control. We were anticipating that if that does happen, we may have to put that second body in the civil division, because it's a new world for us too. We've always had ICRMP to defer most of it, but I think we're gonna be taking on the more brunt of those upfronts because of the large deductible in our current insurance. So I would just put, as I'm completely good with this based on what has transpired, with the caveat that maybe come spring, if things get out of control, I may be coming to the board and saying, hey, we need additional support and I need a mid-year position. So just throwing it out there for the record, so.
And you can have your staff or Carl keep this kind of in the loop.
Absolutely.
The temperature of what that might be doing.
Yeah, we will do that.
And we're working, it's CEO RAS, CIO RAS, is we're still trying to get this new system for our civil division, as I conveyed to you, to help us keep track of all those projects for the board and all the other elected. So my hope is by starting of this next fiscal year, we'll have something in place so we can keep a better accounting of that too.
Do you have an estimate on when they may be able to get started on that?
Actually, we're gonna start that in September.
September.
Slated to start the first part of September, start working on that.
Okay.
Couple months to get it all developed?
I think we could do some preemptive work, probably 45 to 60 days to final completion.
Good, thank you.
Question for Chief RAS. So we approved recently a program submitted by the prosecutor's office for tracking. So that will take the next 2 months for, to get up to speed. Is it queuing or what have we approved?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, that was actually a program to track the contracts of like CMCG and projects for construction. This one is just actually in-house through OnBase to kind of have a workflow of all the legal requests. You're going to legal civil department to help prioritize and visibility.
So work management essentially, and we can open up separate files for everything that comes in. If it's just a little call to us, we log it in there. We anticipate being able to allow the EO or the department head who sends the request the ability to communicate with us directly. They can see what the status is. They would not necessarily have the ability to enter stuff in, but they can at least see what the status is. We can communicate through there, and I think it will function quite well. And fortunately, we're going to be able to do that at really no cost because of the use of the in-house IT people to develop that for us.
And this is for your team to get a
Yeah, legal went over. I think Carl and Zach Wesley went over and looked at it. Okay.
Perfect. Thank
but yeah, there's meetings.
So, board, is there any further questions or discussions on the A part of the budget?
Chairman, the prosecutor had a question.
Okay. With regards to A, to answer Commissioner Van Beek's first question, is my esteemed colleague, Chief Criminal Deputy, was able to figure out how many employees we have.
Okay.
So we have currently 85, but out of those, really we have 83. Because two of them are temps for the summer. That's our temporary program. So to your question is the 87 was anticipation of 83 plus four new positions we were asking for. So it probably would be 86 now based on the conversation we're having. If I'm saying what, if I'm answering Commissioner Van Beek's question.
So we should look at this because the approval starts to say 86 now plus three. So you'll have
No, it would be 83 plus 3 would be 86 total.
Gotcha.
Because we have 85 currently on staff, but two of those are temporary. There are summer interns that help us tremendously of processing, scanning cases, everything, but they're counted as full-time, right? Or Zach may have different numbers.
I've always got a different number.
I retract everything I just said, Commissioner Van Beek.
That one's on me.
That's
those
on
numbers
Zach.
Are wrong, I accept full responsibility.
We should just always defer to Zach,
right?
Instead of trying to answer a question.
Yeah. I believe there's 85 currently employed. I think there's four vacant positions at this moment.
Yep.
So 85, I'm showing
so
a total. 89 plus the one 554 we've talked about lately. We bring up the total full-time positions to 90.
There you go. I stand corrected. I defer.
No, you know what? We're just all still trying to figure out.
And that would include SALSA.
Yep.
Well, it does include SALSA.
That includes SALSA.
Yep. I didn't have the vacant numbers. That must be where I.
That's probably the difference is the vacancies.
Okay, thank you.
So it would be 90 plus the three new requests.
90 plus three new requests. Yeah.
So I apologize to the board. I will address that with my chief criminal deputy when we get back to the office.
It's been a pleasure working with you.
And you'll still have two temps going forward.
That's one of the questions I was going to ask. Yes, the temporary positions have been extremely helpful. They've done all of our scanning of all files, miscellaneous projects. They're usually College of Idaho summer interns for us, and they've been fantastic.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Does the board have any questions on personnel? I think my office is beating to the same drum that the board is on that question. Okay, revenues. So the projected city revenues is the way in which we have structured it within the office and working with the controller is Nampa and Caldwell's amounts are so much larger that we have separated those into their own miniature budgets to help offset because of the volume. All the other cities, Middleton, Wilder, and Parma, we just lump in into just other cities because the amounts are so small. And we only have entered into contracts for prosecution for municipalities that have their own law enforcement agencies. So Melba, Greenleaf, Houston do not, usually the sheriff oversees them, or if Wilder is assisting in Greenleaf, it's only the Wilder contracts. But the amounts are so minimal that we see it as more of a public service to these agencies because they can't afford their own municipal prosecution. And so that's what those are. They help offset some of the B-side budget items like bar fees and that kind of stuff. If I'm answering the question that is here. But Nampa and Caldwell's are large enough in which employees are actually generated from these contracts.
Chairman?
Yes.
So you have, we're missing three contracts from the smaller cities. You're missing Notice, Greenleaf, and Melba. You don't have prosecution contracts with them?
No, because they don't have their own city prosecution.
Perfect.
Or, excuse me, they don't have their own law enforcement.
Okay.
So if they don't have their own law enforcement, we do not enter into prosecution contracts with them.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Does that answer that question, or do you have other questions on those?
Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you, Brian, and it's not clear to me, so just help me understand it. The expenses that you have listed in there year over year, they're not expensed out. So you have costs that are in there that you're not charged against. How come we don't just match the revenue with what we pay out? Because it's just a pass-through. We tell them there's a 3% year-over-year increase. We receive the revenue. They're satisfied with the service that they pay for that. So how come we have expenses listed in there?
So Commissioner Van Beek, Commissioner Holden, I'm going to defer to Zach on how the expenditures. I can, the 3% increase is, I'll answer that question, but the way the contract is set up is that we request the amount and what the city is going to give as a cost of living. And that was, so there's not this an exorbitant amount. So if the city of Nampa gives its employees a 3% increase, then that's what we're going to request. The city of Nampa requests 1%, or is going to give their employees 1% cost of living, we would only request 1%, thinking that based on the economics of the city is if they can afford 3% to all their employees, they can keep the contract up. But if it's a bad economic year that no one's getting a cost of living, then we're not asking for an increase. Regarding the expenditures, I'm going to defer to the accountant in the room on that, Zach.
So there are some B budget items included in the expenditure side for Nampa and Caldwell, cell phones, other type items. As far as allocating those expenses, that would be, I'm going to throw it back to the prosecutor's office, that would be based on what they submit to us on the claim form. We certainly could, we could roll it into one. If you prefer, you can do it either way. Yeah, both ways, it's under the umbrella of the prosecutor's budget.
Chairman, I would submit that for just transparency, you're expensing those over there under your bigger budget. So it's basically just a variable amount based on what you just said. But that seems A, redundant. And then I look at that and go, well, why are we putting that in there? It makes it look like we're charging them for something we're not getting.
And it's Commissioner Van Beek, I think a lot of it is the sheer practical is you were asking is how much time and resources is. We don't necessarily say, hey, this Nampa case is going to jury trial. We need to hire an expert to testify. We take it primarily out of our expert fees. We have what it would anticipate. I guess from our operations standpoint is we're just looking at it as it's all one big pot. We're trying to keep track of it in that aspect. But if you want to merge them all together, I have no objection to that. But
We've tried different approaches in the past. Early on, we tried to allocate a specific set number of attorneys, but with turnover, with changes, it just, from an accounting standpoint, it didn't make sense to try to really fine-tune it or dial it in. There was too much accounting work. To me, there wasn't enough value or benefit on the backside.
Because back in the day, when we first acquired like the NAMPA contract, there was a different courthouse that only handled NAMPA cases. And so it was much easier to track is, hey, these three judges and these three deputy prosecutors, that's all they're doing is NAMPA cases. It's much easier now. A deputy goes to a courtroom, they have NAMPA cases, Caldwell cases, Wilder cases, ISP cases, and it becomes very, and they're moving around in court, so you can't, it's very difficult to truly. So if it's the board's direction, and I defer to the controller as well, if it's easier to merge it all and not have a NAMPA and Caldwell budget, then I don't know if NAMPA and Caldwell want accounting or anything too. I don't know if what they're.
Yes.
And as we look at developing, I'm in favor of keeping those separate because they're large enough and it shows year over year increases in what we do with those. And then having the other ones lumped into the cities. I'm just talking about just the revenue meeting, but the expenses without having, we have $4,800 for NAMPA, for example, for expenses, but really that's.
Well, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, if you look at the PA's budget holistically, all of it is accumulated up to the parent budget. And there's consistency with all the chart of accounts and the expenses that do accumulate up. So I think it makes sense, but I'll defer to the controller and how you guys want to see that. But it makes sense by looking at it.
And that just may be something I'm not seeing, so thank you for
My only concern is for the public that if you are attempting to track something that is impractical to track and it's there for them to look at and it's difficult for us to defend, it might be better to consider just putting it in the one pool of money, because your scenario of a PA associate going from one courtroom to the next, it's impractical and impossible for us to track that with clarity. And it's you're just part of the team at this point. And it does cause me a little pause that we have that data as it is and complete available to the public, and you're tracking it and you're not necessarily always giving it to the controller. So it'd be this commissioner's opinion that we need to show and that we're getting this contract money in, but it literally goes into a pool, and I think you could defend that quite easily.
Absolutely.
Zach, do you have any pause with that, or Chris?
No, I don't. We still maintain those revenue-specific lines to identify exactly what comes from, and we even track the smaller cities. We track that as well.
Yep.
We can dial down to that detail, but we could roll all the expenses, especially the B budget, and the A budget into that one main prosecutor's budget with a few minor exceptions. The SALSA would be an exception.
Yes.
And then the new pre-prosecution diversion would be the other exception.
Yeah.
If that's the direction of the board, we're more than happy to do that. So, makes sense.
I think your proposal is good, Jim.
Okay. Good. This is a good idea. Unless the clerk's office comes up with a compelling reason that we haven't considered here today, let's look towards doing that. And again, sometimes when you yang, there's a yang, and if we run across that, then let's stop this direction.
Any issues with that?
Okay. Yep. All right. Okay, we'll take care of that. Okay, so that's the A side. Now move on to the B side. The miscellaneous professional services, it's our anticipation of zeroing that out. That was the contract for legal assistance and services with the addition of our new position coming on that the board is going to consider on Friday, and then the request of the other civil deputy, there's no need for that. So I'd like to keep that at zero, unless the board wants to put money in it.
You want?
So I just throw it out there. So.
What temperature do you think it is out?
It is getting hot. It's my understanding, so this would be 4, 5, and 9, that the board's intent going forward is to move a lot of the vehicle expenditures under Director Tolman's budget. That's the desire of the board. It's that's the board's call on that. So I'm not an expert. I defer to the board on that. So it doesn't hurt my feelings one way or the other. I don't have any legal reason why not to. So I defer once again to the controller, Director Tolman, the board of what is in the best interest of the county. It's, I know I need vehicles for investigators transporting victims. We use vehicles. So as long as we have access to vehicles and being able to use them, that's all we care about.
And we're still hearing the controller and the clerk's concern about whenever there's state funds that would pay that we're accessing them first before the taxpayers.
Yeah, so I defer to the clerk and the controller from the PA's aspect. As long as we have the resources to do our job, we don't really care where the money is parked. No.
All right.
There is a, and it's my understanding that's number 8 as well. The same concept is moving it under Director Britton's. Once again, I defer. There's no legal reason that I see if that, as long as I have access to modifications of trying to reallocate space. I only have one spot left, basically, to modify, and we're out of space.
How are we going to reduce the size of your office?
So we're moving on to number 6.
We'll be moving in with you guys.
Yeah. It sounds like we're going to have one vacancy here for you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is true. It's a nice window office. Number 6, there was a question is, what is this priors? So priors are prior convictions. So when we contact outside states, we have to get certified copies of an individual's conviction, their judgment, in order for us to pursue on our persistent violator charges or sex offender charges. So like the state of California may charge us $50 to $100 per conviction to put a stamp on it. And that's what that line is. So it's necessary for us to do our job. Does that answer your question?
Would it please everybody in the room to change that and add priors and then put docs, prior docs or whatever, so the public can not get confused like this poor commissioner did.
Yeah.
Is that okay, Zach, or is that going to...
That's really going to upset my financial reporting.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a line for counseling.
It's already over budget this year.
We could.
Why don't you just call court documents?
Yeah, court documents or certified documents.
Certified court documents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just do court documents.
Because we've been talking about it and we've expended
that line
in 7 years.
Really?
What would you like to be called?
Certified court numbers
to preempt.
That's a good question.
Yes, what?
Mr. Chair, so going back to like the capital construction, the vehicles, just from a clarity standpoint, my esteemed colleague here raised, is so let's say hypothetically, not this year, we don't anticipate it, but next year I want to do a modification to my office. What is the process going to be of me? Do I contact Director Britton of going, hey, this is what it is, and then he figures out how much it's going to cost and puts it in his, then I don't have to worry about any of that?
His internal system's already tracking all of these different areas, and so, yes.
And the same thing with Director Tolman and all of that is, hey, okay.
Mr. Chair, just to validate, they're going to be expected to present all of that before the board in their budget presentation.
Okay.
So, Perfect. Chairman, there's a follow-up. There have been years past where they solicit comments on capital construction, remodel, cabinetry, but people have not responded. So it will give people pause to say, what am I contemplating for this year? I need to make sure that I include that to, yeah, so the communication process, there was the first year where there was a real disconnect between what was funded and what am I expected to do. So it helps put that piece together for him and for planning purposes on what is to be funded in prioritization of projects.
So item number seven, I know this is our ongoing one. I know the board is indicating 40,000 to 60,000. If everything goes according to plan, and Director Rask can correct me, is our biggest concern right now is we don't have the number of licenses. It's my understanding that Pine Technologies reaching out to the parent company that was Justware to see if they can obtain licenses. So if I could ask the board on number seven to at least put that on a pause. I don't want to go into the year not having any case management software, but IT has agreed to support us for another year. There's probably ways in which we're going to work around it, but it's I'm hoping by the end of this month we'll have a clear, it's those licenses that we ultimately need. So if we get the licenses, then I have no issue with that aspect of 400 to 60,000. If we can't get it, then I think it's probably a much longer conversation with all of us.
Sure. My only comment, Brian, and I know you're planning for when that transition, you need the software in order to run your department, but we've been including that in the budget year over year, hoping that they can still support it and all that. So technically, where I'm going, Commissioner Brooks has asked this question before, where we've put that in the budget and taxed for it in 4 years, that would be about 300,000. So we should theoretically have the fund balance that's in there to access, and then we reduce it to 60,000. That's my simple thinking, but maybe it doesn't work that simplistically.
I don't think it does. It carry over to me? I don't think so.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, we didn't tax for that.
And that's a question that I hear what you're saying, that there's a pocket of that we don't tax for. It would be helpful if we could look and see what we're anticipating to spend, because that's really where the fund balance is, what you anticipate that you won't tax people for. So right now, I mean, that's a blind number. I don't know what that is.
It's always included, Mr. Chairman. It's always included in the budget where you've got the amount of fund balance.
Sure.
Use to balance the budget. It's always included as part of the equation, the formula, to arrive at a balanced budget.
And I do understand what you're saying, and I would submit that amount included to balance the budget is not detailed. Like, maybe you're planning that this will get moved to 24, or that we can just allocate this much. Maybe too far in the knees, but as an inquiry mind, I would want to know if it's not this that we held out in the fund balance. What other projects did we anticipate? I guess we just use, I don't know.
Mr. Chair, it's Commissioner Van Beek. I'm the first to admit I defer to the experts on the funds and everything. It's, I know my office needs software to do its business.
Yes.
My hope, I don't want to get rid of Justware. If we can stick with Justware, I'm a very happy individual. I think my office is happy. My fear is if we get to the stage, we have been operating without their support for the last 3 years. IT has been great to support us.
Mm-hmm.
Is if worst case scenario, I can't use Justware, then I have to go and get another software system. And I guess I always look at a budget. This is my simple mind is I'm anticipating a possible expense. And if I don't have to expend it, then that's a savings for my pocketbook at home. Is if I have to save up $30,000 for a new car, if my car breaks down, but I don't have to buy that new car, then I get to sit on that $30,000. And that's all that I was saying is, if we have to switch to a new software system, and I'm hoping we do not, the cheapest one that we have been able to find is about $400,000. And that's my fear. So we're working very closely. And my,
if you don't mind.
Yeah, please.
I think the biggest hurdle on this is we are going down a road with the public defender's office that uses Justware, which is a like product that the PA's office is using. Well, now with the state taking that over with the questions about they're going to provide their own system, we're probably not going to go forward with this other product that we're through Pine Technologies, unless through RFP, Mr. Taylor wants to go through that product.
Yep.
But the license acquirement through Pine Talk Technologies is assumed. You can do that. Because we did that with the PD's office. So I think the $60,000 is good. And I will tell you, IT will support that probably between 2 to 4 more years based on what's happening across the tracks in the public defender's office. And sharing discovery, sharing like stuff between platforms, I think it's smart to hold and see what happens there. And then eventually an RFP is gonna have to happen whenever Mr. Taylor wants to do that. So I do think for what we experienced through Pine Technologies, they are supporting the product from a software. IT has the infrastructure to support it by systems next 4 to 5 years. And I think licenses can be acquired. So I think we're in a good position.
I 100% agree. And I'm hoping by the end of this month, we will have that clarity. So I know there's conversations, IT, my IT, they're working with Pine and it's a Journal Tech, I think, is the parent company that owned JustWare at some point. I don't want to get rid of JustWare. That's the ultimate aspect. It's I just fearful if something happens.
So is the board okay with placeholder at $400K, knowing that Brian's going to come back and report to us that at a point that he could be comfortable with being that reduced to 60? Are we okay with that?
In that this budget year, what I heard differently was that the IT director and this board understands that this is critical to your operation. He's indicating, meaning the chief, that their IT for the county will support this. And whether it's just the fund balance, I think we should reduce that amount to 60,000. And then if we need to take a look at that, then we do. And it's justifiable increase.
Chief, clarification.
Mr. Chair, I think to answer PA Taylor's question is, let's make sure we can acquire the licenses and then reduce if we need to determine what that cost is. I think it'd be maybe the cart before the horse, reduce it right now, but we still have some time. So would that be fair?
That's exactly what I was trying to convey is, I just want to get the licenses, which I'm hoping we have by the end of this month. That's the hope.
And let me know if you need to the data entry point.
Yep.
It gets changed.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter what the amount is if it's not budgetarily in the tax request. Okay, so we've done it for 12 years since I've been here. We have gone back to the question of calculating our property tax and utilizing fund balance to balance the budget. We've done that for 12 years, and the reality of it is that's been going on for 50 years. That has been the program here in Canyon County for 50 years. It works very well. So it's a case of whatever this is. Here we go again, and I've used this example many times before. Somebody's looking for a program, and it's expensive. Let's say it's $500,000, but they can't find what they want. It's in the budget, but you know, it gets down towards the end. Whoever that is will be in our office in, let's say, August, said, you know what? I have these two options. I don't like either one of them. I can go ahead and buy this, but I don't think it's a thing to do. But I'm worried that, will I have it in my budget? Again, can we roll this over? So what we've done, again, is that's exactly what we do. We say, all right, if you're not happy yet, don't spend it. We just roll that over. Again, if you're utilizing fund balance to balance the budget, which we've done for 50 years, the dollar amount is really not that important budgetarily. Why this has worked so well is that, yes, because of that, because there's plenty of money there and budgetarily for people to do to maintain their office the way they need to, but not spend the money if they can't find the value. That's why we have consistently came in under what was budgeted. It's a good program. Zach, any disagreement there?
No, the key word in my opinion is value. And if just because it's in your budget, to
me, that's not a good reason to spend it. There's got to be some value, some benefit to the public behind it. So it's my understanding at the moment, leave the $400,000 here.
That's why we're here. Director Rast and I will hopefully have a unified approach by the end of this month. Part of it's out of our control because, we're waiting for Pine Technology to do their
thing. Mr. Chair, and what I think I'm hearing is in all likelihood for 2024, you won't spend it.
That's exactly right. I don't want to spend it. I don't want to switch programs.
There we go.
Yep.
Good discussion.
Item number 10, youth court. There's a question. It's once again, youth court is not necessarily a treatment court. And maybe this is the hyper-technical aspect of my mind. Treatment courts are usually post-adjudication, so individuals have gone through the criminal justice system and they're receiving appropriate treatment, supervision from probation. Youth court is, once again, it's a diversion program. It's all up front. So my office carries a good chunk of the upfront work of identifying cases and then routing it to the youth court program, which is a 501c3 organization. And then they provide the necessary support of having these youth come in, which other youth judge these youth. So they have prosecutors, defense attorneys that are youth. And so whether it's like possession of a marijuana charge, something to that effect, and then the youth are issuing the decisions and what the punishments are. Judge Meinhofer has been the presiding judge over youth court over the last couple years. There's a board that oversees this program. So I guess my recommendation is I wouldn't move it to the treatment court. I see the treatment courts as more as state programs. I think this should stay as a Canyon County. So whether it's parked into my office, which I think does the majority of the interaction from a county aspect, or it moves back into the board's budget, I think it should stay and parked within a county budget. And that would be my recommendation to this board. I agreed with Commissioner Brooks. The logical place, if we want it, or if the board just wants to give the youth court like it's done in the past, the check is a 501c, that's fine as well. If you don't want county oversight over it as well. But if you want oversight, then put it into a particular budget. I think ours seems logical, not to say that I want an additional thing, but our office does interact with them every single time. So we're there.
And that's why we wanted this discussion.
Yep. Am I missing anything, Doug?
No, I think that's right.
Yeah.
And thank you for the recap, Brian. Yep. It did take time to get the information you provided from the district for district report and the accompanying information. So I did talk to the assistant DCA, she and Judge Ryan actually established this, and the judges are all volunteers. And
yep.
So she had, I guess, information, and we'd like to receive that information and just to supplement what you've already provided and get a greater understanding for the request is doubled. And so we're waiting for that information to come forward from her.
Yeah, my understanding is the county has always given youth court about 10,000, and then the youth court program has to go out and solicit another 10,000 from private donations. That's my understanding. And my thought is the program is expanding. They used to do one program or one court date a month. Now, the last couple months, they were doing two because there's enough cases flowing through. If the county is invested into this program, my thought was, and why I put it in my budget, why not just fund the full thing of 20,000? It's a fantastic. The recidivism is basically nil. So we're getting these kids before they ever hit the criminal justice system. So 20,000 in a $130 million budget, I figured it's one of the programs in our county that is really, really working. So why not invest in it if that's what we were going to do? So that's my understanding.
Is it no state money is available for this? GoHealth is this Canyon County's choice to spend?
Chairman, I think that's a question that Assistant TCA was going to look at, but maybe you weren't.
How it's acting?
I'm interested where the idea or the thought process behind moving it to treatment courts, where did that idea stem from?
It was just looked at when the TCA presented all those treatments, so you clarified that it's different, it's free as opposed.
Yep.
And so that was just an idea to explore. That's not, it's a placeholder question to get more information.
It's a placeholder question. If you remember the, choosing my words here. That presentation was all over the board. Not this board, but in discussion. And so for this board, it created more questions than it did answers. And so that was just a placeholder.
I have concerns, reservations about moving it to treatment courts fund. Treatment courts are funded by a lot of different sources. One of those would be fees. So do you have a veteran paying a fee to participate in a veterans court, and his cash payment is being reallocated to support youth court?
Yeah. See, that's why we wanted the discussion here, to expose all of that.
In my opinion, the best place for this is in our department number 13. That's our general department. It's in the current expense fund. It's where we house advocates against family violence, our veterans service officer, or more of our community type contributions and donations. In the current expense fund, in our general department, in my opinion, that's the best accounting place if we're going to contribute to youth court. That's the most appropriate place in my opinion.
Chairman?
Yes.
One of the things I think that was helpful for the board was when Tina Freckleton came and presented. She provided testimonials from people that have been through that. I think that's a really good posture that we have with board members. And then is the expectation now where they're proposing to fund the whole $20,000 that they would not have to raise funds in the community, and that goes all toward the project coordinator?
My understanding in my conversation with Ms. Freckleton, Commissioner Van Beek, is the $20,000 would deal with their base operations, and then any additional funds, they would still go into the community to solicit so they could even make this a bigger program than what it already is. So that's my understanding from her.
The only thing I'm uncomfortable about is that just because we are choosing to give them $20,000 and they're not public, they can choose to do whatever they want for additional funds. So
yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah.
If we're choosing to do this, we're choosing to do this,
yep.
And what they want to do.
That's exactly right.
They're able to do that. I go ahead.
So, Mr. Chairman, if it's in the prosecutor's budget, if it's in the general budget, either way, it is a pull from general county dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Either way, it's a pull from general county dollars.
Yes.
And would the board be interested in having Ms. Freckleton come in and make a presentation so you have a greater understanding or not?
I don't have to be sold on the program. I have to be sold on what the transparency is to the public of where we stuff it in the budget. And that's my challenge. It's beyond question of whether I want to do it. It's just where it's going to make the best sense where to put it. Zach, can you give me the full budget line item so I can look at that?
001-13-223-13-548 something.
That's actually quite impressive. And Mr. Chair, the PA doesn't have a preference of where it's at, so I do not. We're going to continue participating in the program as we always done. If it's easier for the county, there.
My only question to the board is, when it comes to budget next year, will there be an advocate for that individual line item, or would it be best served to be under the PA for you to advocate for it? I'm asking the question. I don't know the answer.
If it helps the board, as I can have my office, I think, to alleviate some of Commissioner Van Beek's concerns, is we'll try to provide you those numbers of the number of cases, so there is accountability to Ms. Freckleton. If you're going to get this allotted amount, then when we're submitting the budget, much like we've done now have given you case numbers and all of that.
And Chairman, I don't know if those are open or public documents. They were provided as public documents because we were in an open meeting, but we have had a lot of interest and appreciation for the way that the ordinance have been presented to the public now. That would help sell that. I think everybody's inherently interested. If you have kids, you want your kids to succeed, and if they trip, you want them to be a safety net when they fall, so.
I don't think the hearings are public because they're involving youth, but the numbers and stuff we can provide, yeah.
That was what she provided.
Yeah.
But when she brought testimonials, even if you blocked the name out, they were handwritten. They were very persuasive documents from people that have passed through and been helped by the program.
It's a fantastic program. I wish more were successful.
And Chairman, I like Controller Wagner's suggestion on that general side of it there right now.
Just a notification.
I think for transparency purposes, that would be the most, in my opinion, the most transparent place for it.
If that's okay, Brian, let's do that.
I'm good with whatever the board decides.
We'll withdraw that and we'll put it over in the line ending in 318. And we'll let that, Zach or Jeff. It's there at 10, so we're just gonna, we're talking about increasing the 10.
Chairman, would you like the 20,000 in that line in department number 13?
Yes, please. We concur with that?
Yes.
Yes, we do. And we're not even asking you to change the name. Just making note. All right. Brian, thanks for the discussion and this.
Absolutely.
And thanks for your view of that. I appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, I think I'm at the end. I do have, just for the record, a couple of items. I sent you a spreadsheet with some, my request of modifications. If I could tackle those real quick.
Yes.
So there was, there's a part-time line, 413050, and then temporary, 413060. They were entered into the 2024 as 25,000. It was, I think there was a potential typo of a 2 was hit instead of a 3. As you've seen in the past, it was 31,250. So I would ask that the board allow us to move that to at least the request of 35,000 in both of those. And both of the temporary is, as I've already indicated, those are our summer interns and individuals throughout the year that we utilize to do miscellaneous projects. And then our part-time is what we really utilize in our legal intern. It's, I call it our farm system. It's, we get these limited license attorneys that have been fantastic, and we've hired almost every single one of them. So we get them, used to start off for a summer, but now we've expanded it to, they come in the fall, the summer, the spring, and they have turned into some fantastic employees and helps with the retention. So that is the one. That's the first modification that I wanted to discuss with the board. I don't know if you have any questions, at least the request. I think it was a clerical error on our end.
I'm sorry, Brian, I was getting to that.
Yeah, yeah.
But tell me again, overtime
you want at? So, no, not overtime. Yeah, the part-time and temporary. The requested was 25 and 25. Mm-hmm. As you saw, last year's budget was 31,250.
Uh-huh.
The request should have been, I'm not saying that the board needs to approve it. I'm just asking for the clarification that I think our request was 35 and 35.
Okay.
I know the board hasn't made final decisions, but I just wanted to, that was a clerical error on our end.
Brian,
yeah.
Yes, we can.
The next modification is 545503. So this is a taxi. And once again, I don't know what the foreseeable future is we're over expended already in the taxi. We still have a couple months, and this is taxiing people typically back and forth from the Boise airport as witnesses are coming in. I think the cost or individuals that are traveling elsewhere And so we're already over the 250, so we're just asking that that be slightly increased to 500, just to make sure we're anticipating for next year. So when I originally submitted, we were under. Now we're over in the latest, so I'm just once again making that request. Once again, not asking necessarily for approval, just asking that it be modified. And then the last one, this is merely a clerical component. This is 548475. This is the sequential intercept model. If the Commissioner Van Beek may recall, but last year St. Luke's, and this goes back to the pre-diversion grant that we were talking about, St. Luke's gave Canyon County $10,000 in a one-time grant allotment to help start the conversations with these the SIM workshop, the model, to help that paid for seeing the Miami model. So that was a $10,000. So far, the county has spent the $6,000, and we have $4,350 left. So just from a transparency aspect, we're asking that be incorporated because that's what's left of that grant. There's no more revenue coming in because we've already received the check, if that makes sense. So we're just asking that that be properly reflected in the budget as a transparency component.
Mr. Chairman, we have a very specific line item to track those exact expenditures. So it makes sense to put the $4,350 in that specific line item.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I was looking at that where Mr. Brooks has agreed in that the board considers those as a unified. I'm in favor of this receipt or leftover revenue received from St. Luke's, but the other ones that we didn't weigh in on that.
So. Can we weigh in? Because this is this chump change. We got $136 million to go through here. So
I understand what you're saying, but
are you wanting to hold this up to that?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so we're good.
Okay.
I don't have any problem with holding something. I just can't hold every line item.
Yep.
We gotta.
And all we're asking is just that it reflect in the proposed budget. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it's just the clerical components. I have nothing else. I have nothing else on my budget unless the board has questions. Yes, sir.
The line right above the SIM. Forfeiture account.
Yes.
It was zeros, 30 grand this year, nothing spent.
Yep.
What is?
Yep. So the asset forfeiture is, it's a state statute. So when law enforcement engages in a seizure of property, so an individual's pulled over in a car, hypothetical, law enforcement arrests that individual, they obtained, 10 pounds of methamphetamine, hypothetically. What we do is, and there's $10,000 in cash, we seize that money into what's called a forfeiture. We seize the car, and then my office then prosecutes that money in that car for being part of an illicit drug trafficking. And then the judge makes the determination to award that money over to law enforcement and prosecution. If the judge awards that, it gets parked into this particular item. I don't know why it has zero in the past, because we've always had something in it, Zach, in the past. But it's, so that money has to be utilized solely for drug-related prosecution. It can't be allocated anywhere else. It has to be utilized for certain either drug training, prosecution. So the $30,000 that is always parked in here that we really don't spend is, we have to have some money in there because we don't know what's coming through the pipe, and we don't know what's going to be expenditured for these drug cases. If I'm making sense, Doug, do you have any, am I misstating it?
I don't think so.
Okay. And I don't know why, I was just looking at that too, of why there's zeros. Because I think we've always done $30,000 or $40,000 every year, and it's really been just a placeholder in the budgetary system.
It looks like the zeros are because there hasn't been any actual spending for a few years in that specific line item.
So this would be your CCNU, right? As if CCNU needed to go to training, we would use asset forfeiture funds, but they have their own asset account as well. This is, we do assets for NAMPA, so this would come into there, or if we did an asset for PARMA. So we get a percentage of the prosecution of these. So you'll see on the court dockets, it'll be like Brian Taylor versus $5,000. And that's a civil affidavit because I'm suing the $5,000 for being drug money is basically what it is. So it is a, I think it is an accounting transparency. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, it's kind of similar to what we just talked about with SIM, where there's some cash already there. We're just spending down that cash balance, also trying to account for there may be new cash coming in. There's no cost to the taxpayers, just from an accounting standpoint. We have a revenue line for asset forfeitures, we have an expenditure line, and they net each other. Yeah.
So 369502, which is our revenue line, and you'll see like in 2021, we had received 15,000. Then the following year, we basically acquired 12,000. And some years are higher, some years are lower, because you never know. And so that expense accounts is sort of, we just place the 30,000 versus having to do the exact amount that's in the account every year, basically.
The cash is already in the bank.
Yep.
We'll quote you on that.
Does that answer your question, Commissioner Brooks?
Yeah.
Yep. Other questions?
Well, this is being recorded for public discernment. I sincerely hope that the public spends the time to listen to a bunch of this stuff because it's important and it's how the government is functioning and it's very informative.
Well, I know. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To go back to the budget versus tax request, I think I just want to make that very clear. Again, using the prosecutor's example of $400,000 for a program, it's budgeted but not requested as tax money. And in all likelihood, here we go again, not going to be spent in 24, but he's going to want to roll that over into 25 in the event that he can't find something. So when I talk about a rollover into the next fiscal year, I'm talking budgetarily, no dollars, because there was no dollars taken. Follow? We didn't take any money from property tax. It was covered with fund balance in the event that he actually found something. And so my point is, because I've had this discussion multiple times with commissioners and various officers, well, it's in my budget. I had X amount, so do I still have those dollars? No, you don't have it, dollars, because we never took them in the first place. Am I being clear?
Chairman, I would just say that the gap that exists, I understand what you're saying and that you're pulling something, but you're anticipating that a certain amount of those expenses won't be anticipated. That's what makes up the difference between the balance and budget. And so maybe that's too much detail, but I would want to know as a taxpayer where that line is. And I don't think that's a question we're going to answer today. But thank you for the explanation. I know you've covered that several times. I still have the same question, but I respect your position. I do want to say, Prosecutor, thank you. This is one of the best budget presentations from your side of the table since I've been sitting in this seat. I appreciate your openness to field the questions, and I know it's fair for Commissioner Chairman Holton to give people the opportunity to succeed in the budget hearing, because we are wanting the public to understand what it is that we're doing and that we don't understand. We have expanded discussion. There's a new process this year, and I am appreciative of everybody that's participating in that and helping drive the budget process forward.
Well, Clerk, I'd encourage you to keep this conversation alive and well, as there are still items that come before us in the next days and weeks ahead. And I think it deserves robust discussion because public doesn't have a perception, but these budgets are complicated, they're important, and thank you.
Good point. my question would be, if you want to do anything different, do you want to actually tax? Well, that's what I thought. Okay, thank you.
And I would say the answer is no. And this has been several years ago when I spoke with a different county. They had a contingency within each office or department that was their margin, understanding from Controller Wagner's perspective that these are best guesstimates of what we're going to spend in that year. But the real contingency, which is what we're talking about for that, was held at the commission level so that there were unexpected salaries or projects or emergencies that were not planned for, then the contingency was held there and it came to the board. That to me seems logical, but that's what we're talking about, is a contingency, what that reserve is.
Right. Thank you for the questions ahead of time. That was extremely helpful. And thank you for the flexibility, as I'm out of town next week, so dealing with family. So.
Enjoying family.
Yeah, enjoying family. Yeah. Oh, this is on the record still. I love my family.